50-minute mark on the fan comes your way. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters. Huge event. Not that far away. It's our Fan 5 Alarm Marathon to benefit local volunteer fire departments. 26-hour broadcast. Around-the-clock local shows. And you can nominate your, register your local VFD right now, 937thefan.com. This is going to be such an outstanding event for a good cause. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, brought to you by 800 Board Up and Hampton Beer Outlet.
I hope they let you and I still, like, do a couple hours together. Now I'm starting to think, like, it's going to be all complete mishmashes.
Well, that's the one thing I've got to get a little bit of guidance from on Craig, our boss and former producer, who now is really able to tell us what to do. I need to figure out when to book people to come on the show and to maybe come out to see us. Because do I give them just normal times during our show? I mean, it sounds, and this is a cool thing, like hosts are just going to get put in a blender over those 26 hours, and there's going to be all kinds of wacky combinations and mishmash of hosts and stuff, and fans are going to get a whole new listening experience. So
you're a big time guest booker too. Do you have anybody like in the hopper?
Barry Bonds.
Really?
I just made that up.
I'm just impressed that you didn't say somebody that Donnie and I were going to have to inform you was 6 feet under for their appearance.
Rowdy Tellez.
Man, tell you what. They're probably, I was going to say something, but I'm not. But there are probably some people 6 feet under who could hit better than him and half this team right now.
Speaking of the Pirates, Greg Brown joins us Wednesdays, brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org.
He's a little busy right now, though.
So, significant playmaker. Watch. Brian McFadden is going to come on with Matt Cole later tonight. I talked to him earlier this hour, and he said to me, it's not dead. I asked him straight up, like, hey, the stuff that you put out there on Monday, do you think that ship has sailed? And he said,
"Still,
no, I don't think that. I don't think that that's true.
That ship is not out on the open water. He thinks there's still a chance something happens. And that it's not a free agent, right?
No, not a free agent.
It's a trade
I brought up
situation.
Odell Beckham Jr. and he said only as a last resort kind of thing.
And to be fair, I Donnie and I, while you were on the phone, said, well, Florio told us this. Mike Florio and other people have said this. Oh, if you're going to do one of these deals, the time to do it's before or is during the draft. It was pointed out to me, though. You have these deals, you do these deals later, those June 1st cap considerations come into play.
Very good point.
So teams can still have motivation to do a deal after the
when
draft.
There was the dubious DK Metcalf rumor.
Yes.
Nice that was cited by the person who put it out there that there it could be a June 1st, post June 1st designation, which is all kinds of salary cap mumbo jumbo that fans don't want us to get in the weeds on, but it is something that factors into these decisions that get made with rosters.
Yeah, I only bring it up. I literally bring it up not to want to get into the mumbo jumbo, but to say there's a reason for teams to want to do something later on in the process here. That's all.
I do think that one of your zany ideas is a possibility. After talking to BMAC about an hour ago and just going through this and trying to connect dots and everything else, I do wonder about Terry McLaurin in Washington.
CTESPN put out that number 17. It's the same number Scary Terry wears. They put out Mike Wallace because he wore it here.
Well, hold on. You got to give me the real depth and teeth of this report by CTESPN. What are they saying? They've gotten several things right.
CTESPN source, remember, breaking news 2 days ago.
Which is a brain exploding?
Logo? No. Well, yeah, it is now. Source, breaking news, CT. I like that the source is just breaking news in this tweet. Hearing a big name wide receiver trade to the Steelers is close to done. Now, that was just them piggybacking off of BMAC.
That was just them stealing the Bryant McFadden.
Correct. Then, I think, I want to say minutes later, that was at 4:02. At 5:54, almost 2 hours later, They posted a picture, did CT ESPN, of Mike Wallace saluting the crowd at Heinz Field. Mike Wallace wears 17. So too does Devontae Adams. So too does DJ. So too does Terry McLaurin. So people put it together saying...
DJ Chark would not get lumped in with those other guys.
No, but, well, that person said at best Devontae Adams, at worst DJ Chark, which is kind of funny. I would say at very close to best
subliminal messages now from CT ESPN.
He's playing 5D chess, whoever is the person who runs AB's CT ESPN feed, because it
ain't
AB.
You're saying it's not AB.
It's not AB. Come on. I don't think, like, that you could take it off the table if it's if it's a trade. You can't rule it out. It would take, I would think, a healthy return. They still need help, or I would imagine want help on the other side of the ball, because they still have a guy like Dotson as a receiver for Jaden Daniels.
I feel like we've ruled out Metcalf. I feel like we've ruled out Sutton.
Both Niners guys, I feel like, are out.
You do?
I do. And I know that you could say, well, here's why they're not, but that just feels like one of those ones we're going to look back on and say, there was all this smoke, but there was no fire. Somebody in the Bay Area was just puffing doobies.
I don't agree with that part of it. I think that I think there was time sensitivity to it, potentially. Like, it, when Florio comes on and says with us, they're a team that's in win-now mode. They wanted to get something done before the draft. That way they could use what they got back, the pick, to make this year's team better.
Yep.
That, logically, that's like a real, I think, pretty salient point. The one thing, though, that I would reject about that is, I feel like the 49ers are such a arrogant organization because they've had success finding guys like Brock Purdy, and their coach, I think, looks at himself, rightfully so, with Andy Reid as the best offensive mind in the entire sport. I think he feels like, if Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to play here and wants a lot of money, and we're not prepared to give him that money, we'll get rid of him. Belichick thought that way.
I mean,
Belichick...
He tried to trade Tom Brady.
Belichick would straight up trade guys and cut guys right before the season started.
He would
out
bench
of
guys for the Super Bowl.
Right.
And stupidly.
Yeah, he'd cut off his nose to spite his face.
Yep.
And I'm not putting that kind of move past Kyle Shanahan. Him taking the Tomlin, we want volunteers, not hostages. Oh, Brandon Ayuk is like...
Does Lynch want to go along with that, though?
They drafted Pearsall in the first round.
Man, but they reached for him in most people's minds. Well, that's the problem.
Okay, but that's what we think looking at Mel Kiper's draft board and how Dane Brugler ranks these guys, but clearly internally they don't look at it that way.
No, I understand that. I understand.
I mean, CJ Stroud was on like that live stream and had a meltdown when Pearsall got picked because he said that was the number one receiver he liked in this draft.
Right.
So I don't it's easy right now for everybody to get along in San Francisco because the season is still months away. Once we get closer to Brandon Ayuk having to put his body on the line for only $14 million,
things might get a little hairy.
I think so.
Okay, so you're not closing the door on
that's
him
why
specifically.
And this is not verbatim from Bryant McFadden, but that's why I think he said to me that significant playmaker watch is not dead. Because it doesn't take much for things to change. It looks quiet now. It looks like it isn't going to happen today or anytime soon. Like, that's another point. Like, if this happens, if the trade were to happen in August, does Brian McFadden get to say I told you so?
Probably. I mean, I brought up the McLaurin hypothetical well over a month ago. I would absolutely take a victory lap if it happened.
What if it happened next year, like next offseason?
No, I think once the season starts, you then you wipe the slate completely clean here on trade proposals. But if they trade for Scary Terry in July, whatever it is, right? I'm still absolutely, especially if I get the deal correct.
Spiking the football. They're not trading Alex Highsmith, but if they did, then I think.
I'd be doing the worm.
If Terry McLaurin got traded for Alex Highsmith, I would absolutely feel like I'm living in a simulation. If that happens. Like, this is not a real world.
This isn't real. Malzi got it too right.
That I'm living in.
Malzi could never be this right.
Donnie, do you ever think we're living in a simulation?
Nah.
No?
I believe in deja vu. I've had.
So why do we get deja vu then?
I definitely believe in deja vu.
I've had moments that I felt strongly were deja vu moments.
So why do you think we have deja vu?
There's an explanation for it. I don't remember it. I remember reading about it.
We've already lived this life before?
The Matrix said deja vu was a sign you're in the Matrix in the movies. But I remember. No, deja vu is not reincarnation. It's just that you've had a moment.
I didn't say reincarnation. I said we've already lived this life before and we're living it back. Like you die and then you start over again and you go through life again and then it just the cycle repeats.
The deja vu is like thinking a specific thing at a specific time and oh, by the way, this song is playing and I'm like, I think I've been having this exact thought at this exact time while this song has played.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I view it. And it's definitely happened to me. And not in
but
stuff
But when
that-
would it have happened to you, Chris?
No, I can like vividly think of, oh yeah, that absolutely happened before where, you know, whatever, Yacht Rock Radio was playing and I was thinking about the Pirates lineup or something. So you don't believe in deja vu?
I'm hoping there's deja vu.
Do you believe we're living in a simulation?
I'm hoping that deja vu means that we just...
start it back up again?
Yeah.
You die, you come right back as Andrew Filippone yet again with a different name?
I wonder, like, if it's the same exact thing or if we're able to make a few different decisions that change our lives
completely. Name the first decision you're making. You get three decisions, and they can't be, like, major ones. I decide to be rich. You can just change 3 points in time.
Man.
I think I'm picking a double major.
I got
that's
one
like
in my head right now. I got one in my head, but I don't want to say it on the air.
Yep, I kind of figured you wouldn't.
I know exactly.
I kind of figured you wouldn't.
I got one that I'm thinking of, but it's not going to come out great.
No.
And that's the first
usually
one.
Usually doesn't.
And now I'm blocked by that. Now I've been paralyzed by it because all I can think about, and I think I've had deja vu of this exact conversation before.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Mine would be like very blasé, and it would just honestly be like I would pick a second major. I would decide to double major in college and get something useful.
Oh, my God. That's the most boring take I've ever heard in my entire life.
I know. But I can't like, but I can't go back and say anything. It's like a big regret. I actually took the plunge and entered. I wasn't going to enter the contest for the talent search.
Well,
for
maybe the last time you lived your life, you mm-hmm. didn't enter the contest, and you had regrets about it the rest of your life. So when you started over again,
I finally did it.
You did it.
What if in my last life though it didn't enter the contest, but I like ended up with a very lucrative career as a sanitation engineer, a garbage man.
I got cut from a basketball game from a basketball team when I was 15
mm-hmm.
because I told the coach that I was going to skip practice to go to a Syracuse football game, and then he cut me for it.
Well, see, we had no cuts.
And I remember being like, "No, this was not a school thing.
Oh,
this
okay. like a CYO's title.
No, this
or
like
AAU.
An AAU.
Okay, wasn't good enough.
And
to
I remember
AAU.
Thinking to myself, I should have just if I was really going to go to the game, I should have lied.
Told him, yeah, told him I was going to the game without or no, gone to the game and told him I was sick.
Yes.
Honesty is not the best policy.
Yeah. So maybe the next time I relive my life, I'll either not go to the game or I'll lie.
How many decisions do you think you'd use up trying not to get punched in the face in the next life?
You know, you're going to laugh at this. I actually think the punches in the face were beneficial. Now, if I live this life again and I get like in the moment, it sucks getting punched in the face and dealing with the pain.
Yes.
But I do think it was worth it. There was pain for gain.
What did you gain out of getting punched in the face?
What's that?
What did you gain out of getting punched in the face?
Well, I think when you're at that point in life, when you're that age, it's not looked as a bad thing that you're someone that's willing to get punched in the face.
But it is looked at as a bad thing that you don't manage to not get punched in the face.
Well, it stopped.
You stopped running your mouth, I think, because you realized you were very bad at avoiding fists.
Yeah.
So right. You knew, you know what? You did gain something. You knew you'd never be a professional boxer.
Well, I just also figured out that just being a wise ass and acting like that all the time was not really the best
unless you could
way
do it in front of
life.
A microphone.
McLaurin has a dead cap hit of $34 million if the Commanders trade him now. But there's a potential out after this. It's just... all these guys...
would they just eat it for 1 year, though, with a quarterback on a rookie deal and just say, screw it?
But that would be so dumb on their part because you want to give Daniels all of these weapons right from the very beginning to
but what
accelerate his learning curve.
I agree with that part, but what if hypothetically they're saying, we don't know if Terry would be here next year anyway. We want to recoup some picks for the guy.
Well, he's under contract next year.
No, I know. But like maybe if he didn't fit into their – whatever it might be. We think he's a valuable asset. He's a 1,000-yard season machine.
I guess you never know when new coaches and you've got a new GM there too.
That's the other thing.
How they value the players.
And you know what? Where did Peters come from? The GM. San Fran.
Yeah.
Where they might look at guys as a little bit more interchangeable parts in certain respects, in certain situations.
I just always looked at McLaurin as one of the more underrated guys because he's never had a good quarterback and he's always been productive. When you bring
I think he's very underrated.
When you bring up how Pickens has the excuse that he's had Pickett and Trubisky and those guys throwing him the football, I often think of McLaurin like he's found a way to get it done.
And, well, the thing that's most appealing about him is that, and then the sidebar to that is I think people here, I don't think the Steelers care as much about this, or at least I would imagine they don't. I know fans do. Terry McLaurin does not have a speck of diva in his personality. Like, absolute great guy in the locker room, great professional. When people talk about somebody that doesn't, honestly, you know what he reminds me of the way people talk about him there? Cam Hayward here. Just does everything right and has every reason to be pissed off about this, that, or the other as far as his quarterback situation and just doesn't complain.
Jeff Hathorn's visits with us are brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Say goodbye to gutter cleaning forever with Gutter Helmet by Lednor Home Solutions. Matt Miller, who's going to take Mel Kiper Jr.'s job at ESPN eventually as their top draft analyst, ranked the top 100 picks in this year's draft. He had Caleb Williams 1 and Rome Odunze 2. He then proceeded to rank 5 Steelers in his top 51. Mason McCormick, 51st. Roman Wilson, 33rd. Peyton Wilson, 16th. Troy Fautanu, 26th.
And?
His 6th favorite pick in the draft, Zach Frazier.
I don't know of a person that has basically said a negative syllable about them picking Frazier. That just seems... When is the last time you can remember a pick, both inside Pittsburgh and outside, that was received with this much, like, love universally? Not even Fautanu got, like, universal love. I mean, this feels like one of their all-time recent slam dunks.
Because
no one thought he'd be there at 51.
Yeah,
going
and,
into the
and
draft.
He can play right away, and he's just got a super high floor.
He's the, highest
no
floor.
No one thinks he's going to be a bust. It's just a question of whether or not he develops into a great player.
Well, he's highest floor of the three big center prospects, but the ceiling is high enough that it's not very far behind, I think, any of the other two.
And how about Mike Florio telling us, oh, yeah, I pretty much knew all along they were going to take Zach Frazier, I just was sworn to secrecy.
I was going to flex on Mike a little bit there and see and say that I had been told.
We all had.
Because I was, and I think you were, that they preferred him to the other two.
Well, I knew they liked him more than Jackson Powers Johnson.
That they wanted, ideally, to take a tackle in the first round and then get him next.
But then do you remember all that generational
Graham
was out there?
Big generational Graham. Big Graham Barton, folks. He's a big guy and he's a strong guy. Big Graham.
Jeff Hathorn joins us now. Jeff, was there just shock over at the Steelers facilities when they passed on generational Graham Barton?
I tell you what. I mean, he was generational, and somehow they didn't go for him.
What is it with our guest today being outside and taking in Mother Nature?
Stop. Jeff is sitting at his house, which is in his yard, which is my grandmother's old yard, talking to us right now. That's what he's doing.
Mosey, I'm a little worried. I've got to do some digging here in a little bit. Am I going to worry about digging up something that I shouldn't?
No, we didn't bury anything.
It's going to be a cold case or something?
No, we didn't bury anything.
Did you guys
there.
Do time capsules when you were in school?
Yes, we always did.
We did one in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And we put a Sugar Ray CD in it. Do you remember them, Donnie? Was that before your time?
What, Sugar Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some great hits.
Donnie would go see them in concert. I think we just found out a Creed Sugar Ray show would be right up his alley.
You know what, guys? You were talking about number one slam dunks. I mean, I remember back in the day with, hey, we've got T.J. Watt, but I don't know about him. Cam Hayward, what do you need a defensive lineman for? Even Troy Polamalu had the concussion issues at USC. And Ben, while most people like that pick, there was concern, well, he did it in the MAC.
Level of
all
competition,
those, I don't think,
yeah.
Were slam dunk as Faltano.
But that does scare me when, like, Devin Bush was looked at as a great move. Jarvis Jones, oh my God, this is the perfect fit. So I do have that impulse whenever I see everyone gushing to be like, oh no.
Ray Fittipaldo gave like the converse to Matt Miller here. He did the 5 years out from the Steelers 2019 draft. You need 5 years to evaluate a draft. Well, we know that one was a big pile of steaming.
Feces.
Yeah, I mean, none of the nine players they drafted are with them anymore. I think four or five of them are out of the NFL.
Highlighted by Devin Bush in the first round.
The highlight's an interesting choice of words, yes.
Jeff, give me the latest you're hearing on this significant playmaker rumor.
I wish I had a name. They've done a nice job of throwing so many names, or sources have thrown so many names out there that it's throwing people off the scent. I think they are. Well, no, let me rephrase. I know they're still interested in bringing another receiver aboard. What that level of receiver is going to depend on what teams are asking for their really good receivers, specifically, say, San Francisco and Denver. They could end up, I think Shark is an interesting guy if they kind of strike out at the trade market, because he's had some big seasons. He has obviously a good catch average. So I wish I could tell you a name, and I'm kind of like what Caboli was saying earlier today. It's like you hear so many different names. I think they're trying a lot of different areas, and they're going to see which one of them strike.
Do you think that's Omar's MO so far? That, well, let me put it this way. Do you think that the way they under Omar have handled these situations is appreciably different than what Kevin would do? I know that Kevin wasn't like maybe given to making this kind of a blockbuster move, but it seems that there is a lot more obfuscation coming from that front office than there used to be, Jeff.
Well, I think Kevin would cast a wide net when it came to drafting and looking at players. But I think Omar does that a lot more with thinking about more possibilities of, okay, what if we were to trade this? Or what if we were to make this kind of deal? Or, all right, let's look at this and we'll revisit it in a couple of weeks and see if you're still getting the hits, and let's talk again about what another deal might be. I think that's where Omar is different than Kevin. It's just in this type of trade market where you might be thinking, if Kevin might be more, all right, let's look at what free agents are available. I think Omar is looking at all the different options.
Jeff, we had Aditi on last hour, and we brought up how Najee Harris's fifth-year option hadn't been picked up yet. And I just assumed that she would say, guys, this is the Steelers. They wait until 4 o'clock. There's nothing to see here. And then she pretty much told us that she thinks that they're having a very hard conversation about whether or not it's a good idea or not to pick up that option. What's your sense on things right now?
Yeah, I go with the former. I think it's just them taking their time, and I think this is going to happen. I have heard nothing to the contrary that they're going to pick up that fifth-year option, that they like Najee Harris. He's been durable for them. He's had 1,000 yards. You can devalue that, and it has been as you add games. And he hasn't had a huge per-rush average. But the way that this line is building, I think this is a matter of whether it's signing it, releasing it. I kind of feel like this deal is done, that they're going to, because the number, it's not like a quarterback number where you really worry about something in the future.
Jeff, do you think that there is any discussion going on right now to just try to do a small extension for Najee Harris, or is just straight fifth-year option pickup? Like, you think that's just the only thing that was ever really seriously discussed?
To the point earlier, as we were discussing, I think Omar is open for anything, but remember, Najee was the guy. He came into training camp last year, and he was all on that bandwagon about how running backs don't get paid.
Yep.
Can't imagine that he's getting a big long-term or even three-year offer from the Steelers at this point. It would seem like, from a Najee standpoint, that wouldn't make sense from his camp to sign something that's probably, yeah, it might be 3 years, but it's probably not going to be the money that he just said, 8 months ago, that running backs deserve.
Cam Sutton, a case of them wanting to, on a personal level, help out a guy, reach out to a guy, or do you think that they're actually interested in bringing him back to the Steelers?
I think they're doing their due diligence. I do. I think it's a possibility. with Cam Sutton. They're gonna do their homework. And listen, there's gonna be one person that makes this decision. It's not Mike Tomlin, not Omar Khan. This decision is gonna be made by Art Rooney. And if they feel like he can help the team and what happened is explainable, he's gonna get the help, and they get his side of the story and think that he can help them. It wouldn't be the first time they took someone with who's done some things in their past that they thought that could help them, that they add to the team. I do think it's a possibility, but they've got a lot of background checks to do, and I don't think it's a probability, but it's a possibility.
What do you think Art's overall like threshold or level of tolerance for this sort of thing is? Because Aditi said he has a high threshold, as in like they really have to figure out that Cam Sutton is safe to bring back in that sense. Not that he has a high threshold for tolerance of this, but a high bar right. for Cam Sutton to clear, Jeff.
Well, no one has tolerance for this, obviously.
Right.
Is he going to do the necessary work? Do they feel like he can rehabilitate himself? Do they? But, I mean, this is a business, guys. Can he help them? And can they show that, you know, there are some reasons or there's some underlying situations that played into this or whatever it is? Again, I don't think it's probable. I just think it's possible. But they're going to do their homework because, listen, here was a guy that was with them for half a decade that they thought they had a good read on, that they liked. And, you know, the only reason he left is because he got good money in Detroit. So I think there's some personal feelings there and that they want to explore this before, let's face it, his NFL career might end.
There you have it. Jeff Hathorn, 93.7thefan.com. Read him there. Going to have some scintillating stuff on this Pirates offense later on today. Thank you, Jeff.
Go Bucks.
Bye, Jeff.
Jeff called the Backyard Brawl baseball game last night.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you something about it, about that game.
Now or coming up?
No, right now, but you cannot repeat it. Please.
Well, you're saying it publicly over the air.
I know, but please.
I won't repeat it.
Donnie, can you keep it between us?
Between us and the entire listening audience, yes.
So I wanted to watch that show Baby Reindeer last night with Amanda
yep.
on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So she was getting messages from her friends like in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, the Backyard Brawl is on TV. This baseball game's on.
Yeah.
And I go, oh. I go, you got to have a special package for that. I think that's a streaming thing. And she's like, well, why would they be able to watch it in Texas? And I go, Big 12. You know, Big 12 baseball down there. They're able to get that on their base.
I have a question for you. Is Amanda...
And it worked!
Amanda's one of the smarter people I've ever met. Is she so taking you at face value that she wouldn't simply just pop into the guide on your TV and check to make sure?
No, because think about this. She's working under the assumption that I want to watch sports. So if I say a game's not on, she's going to argue with me?
No, that's actually a good point. Man, you pulled the perfect... You pulled the
perfect crime.
Yeah, exactly. You really did. I mean, double switch.
Tremendous for our sister station to air that game last night, and it's cool that Pitt and West Virginia get to play at PNC Park.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to watch a regular season college baseball game on a Tuesday night. I needed to see what was going on, that whole scenario with the baby reindeer thing.
How'd that go?
This is, I think, a legitimate spoiler.
Oh, then don't do it.
Right? I can't say.
Yeah, a reindeer was a baby.
Are you okay with me
saying how it ends? No, don't do it. If it's going on right now, don't spoil it.
Has Sarah expressed any interest in watching it? Number one on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah, we are going to watch it very soon, I think.
So, right in the last episode. No, I'm not going to do it.
They find out it was a baby reindeer all along.
It's
the baby reindeer was the friends we made along the way.
Let me just say, though, it creeps you right out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Does that make sense, though, that it's good?
But creepy?
But it still gives you, like, a creepy...
The heebie-jeebies?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't, like, a lot of great media and cinema?
But I don't usually like horror movies. Like, getting scared and watching people get stabbed or whatever...
I know,
does
but
not entertain me. But this
horror
did.
Has had like a renaissance lately, where like really good filmmakers have done it. Like,
give me an example.
Hereditary,
based on a true story.
No, but it's a good horror movie. Midsommar.
This is based on a true story.
Okay,
Baby Reindeer.
Okay, fine. Yeah, there's a lot of people love the true crime based on a true story stuff. They love it even more when you fake it, like when you say Blair Witch Project was based on a true story and it wasn't.
Pony, have you guys watched, I think it's called Lover, Stalker, Killer?
Now, that's a documentary, right?
Yeah, that came out a couple months
Amanda
ago.
Amanda doesn't do the documentaries.
You're missing a really good one.
The last
with a really good twist.
I think the last time I got her into a documentary was that Tiger King guy. Remember him during COVID?
That was the big one.
Is he still in jail?
Carol, what was her name? Carol Burnett?
Carol Burnett.
Hey, how about, by the way, I never brought this up to you. How about the job Carol Burnett did in Better Call Saul?
Hell of a job.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Did you finally finish it?
Yes. She put Saul out. Little did we know. What a plot twist. It was Carol Burnett.
She knew about calling Saul.
Who ended up being the person that got Saul caught and put behind bars for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Better not call Saul. Because better be willing to call Saul collect because he's in jail.
Because she's all comedian, right?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say Carol King was the next person for Tiger King, but she plays
this
music.
Was hardcore acting by Carol Burnett.
Are you suggesting comedic actors don't really act?
Well, some of them try to cross over like Sandler, and they're not that good at it.
Haven't people said he was really good in Uncut Gems?
No, stay in your lane like the one that intern Dom likes.
Jack and Jill, yes. Reviewed as one of the worst movies of all time.
Make your Jack Sandler's and Jill's. Yeah. The guy that's on the TV show that everybody loves that's on Netflix now about he dresses up as a hot dog sometimes. And
oh, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. We don't need to see him in a...
Tim Robbins? Tim He's Robinson. In Shawshank Redemption.
We don't need to see Tim Robinson in a serious movie.
Maybe he should do one with Tim Robbins.
Shawshank Redemption 2. We're all trying to find the guy
Tim
who
Robinson
did this.
Plays the role of Red.
I mean, don't you hate that? Like... That was actually pretty funny. That music means it's time for WWPMD. What would Pony and Mueller do?
Pony and Mueller would tell their wife that a game was only available on a special cable package because they wanted to watch a Netflix show.
These stories are ripped from the pages of...
Maxim Magazine.
The New York Post. Dateline Seattle, Washington. Woodland Park Zoo. A zoo bear named Juniper shocked guests at a girl's birthday party after devouring ducklings that had landed in its enclosure.
Oh, my God.
As seen in a video with over 2 million views on TikTok. A hashtag NatGeo trainwreck for my daughter's birthday. Thanks, Juniper. Mother Rochelle captioned the clip of the impromptu feeding. She taped it. She taped the five little ducks meeting a, quote, grisly end. Two-year-olds. Ace will be two soon.
Mm-hmm.
If this happened at Ace's two-year-old birthday party, what would you and Alex do?
I mean, he would probably be a little bit traumatized, I think. That's nature, though. That's natural.
So you try to turn it into a lesson?
Yeah, this is what happens in nature. I think Lennox already understands predators and prey in nature. Like, he'll say that. He'd be like, well, yeah, I'm a shark because I'm a predator. But then you're
prey.
Oh, my
prey. God. Your son knows everything about dinosaurs and who are the herbivores and
omnivores
and carnivores.
He knew who was eating who with dinosaurs. I don't think he'd be
too incredible, man.
I don't think he'd be
we
fazed
should have
by
him on
this.
The air sometime and just try to quiz him on dinosaurs and see how many he can get right.
We should just play herbivore, omnivore, carnivore. And you can throw out all the sauruses and whatever that you want. He'll go 100%. He'll lecture you.
All right, so that's the first one. I've not watched the video.
I don't want to watch a video.
Would you watch that, Donnie?
I don't want to watch a video of ducklings getting eaten.
I might check it out.
Is he like, they're ducklings, so is he popping them like chips? You know, he's just popping them in. It's a bear, for God's sake. It's not like it's a tiny animal.
Next one.
Do the ducklings even have time to be afraid?
No.
No way. I think it's pretty painless for the ducklings.
A flight from Texas to Japan had to be canceled after the pilot was quizzed by cops for wild behavior while drinking at an all-night party in his hotel. Japan Airlines canceled the flight from Dallas to Tokyo Wednesday to check on the mental and physical well-being of the 49-year-old captain, the airline told reporting agency. The 157 passengers had to be transferred to other flights. Apparently, this is something that happens more than we know of. Pilots tying one on.
Well, they have like very strict rules about... I know this much about pilots. Wasn't this also the plot of that movie Flight with Denzel?
Yeah, that's a very good movie.
It's a character study, basically. They have a very serious...
He like landed an emergency...
But he was drunk,
and
wasn't
he? And he was bombed.
Right, and he got hailed for it, but then
But then they realized he was a drunk.
So, I know that there are very strict rules about, you know, like, you have to have been sober, I think, or have no blood alcohol for, like, level, like, detectable for, like, 8 hours prior to a flight for obvious reasons. They don't want a hungover pilot, no matter how good they are at flying planes, getting on board there and saying, all right, like, scratching his ass, saying, let's get this bird in the air. So I'm fine with that they held this thing up. But what was the guy? I want to know what kind of a Roman, like, bacchanalia type of party this guy was having.
But here's what I was thinking about with this. If you found out that the pilot was just extremely hungover,
yeah,
he had been out all night partying, but he had showed up to fly the plane, and you had that knowledge that he was just...
He's not drunk, but he's hungover.
You still feel good?
No.
I think I do.
No.
Because the planes fly themselves. We already know that. We know that.
He's still going to vomit at an inopportune time. What if he fries
it's
the electronics?
It's Dallas to Tokyo. You don't fall off. I mean...
No, I think I want my pilot in peak condition. Whenever you get the pilot coming on, or you see the pilot, you know, the captain, and he looks like he's got a little gray in the old beard, like this ain't his first rodeo. He comes over the loudspeaker. He sounds almost bored. He's so calm. That's when I feel like you're in for a great flight. You got somebody who sounds like this is the first time they've been talking on an intercom. Don't love it. Can you name the major university, Donnie, that trains pilots in this country off the top of your head?
Cal U?
No. Pony, can you? There's one university that I think disproportionately trains pilots.
Kent State.
Embry-Riddle University in Florida. Ever heard of it?
Nope.
I thought it was Kent State.
Mm-mm. You think Craig has ever bet on it? He's like, these guys from Embry-Riddle, man, they're going to fly tonight.
Travis Kelce admitted on his New Heights podcast that he had to shut off his mail. Because in the last 12 months since dating Taylor Swift, there's been a surge of, quote, random bleep sent to his house. Quote, the one thing you don't realize when somebody posts your house online, that everybody now has your address and people just send stuff to your house. So I literally stopped getting mail to my house.
P.O. Box, brother.
What would Pony and Mueller do? I don't know. But this is just a time for me to bring up the story that Ron Cook told me once upon a time that a reader sent him a piece of poo in the mail with a letter that said, hey, Ron, attached is a
piece of crap.
This is what your columns are like.
That's how you know you've made an impact. I would kill to write a column that made somebody that mad.
What?
Like, I would kill to write something that somebody said, I'm going to go number two, bag it, then mail it. Isn't that a federal offense to mail crap to somebody?
Look it up. So I could go to jail for mailing crap. I could go to jail for mailing a turd.
Is mailing poop a federal offense? If I poop in a box and mail it to somebody, what charges would I face?
You know what? It's got to be. Here's why. If you open somebody else's mail, you're in deep trouble.
That is a federal offense.
Right. So...
People send fecal samples in the mail all the time for medical testing reasons.
That's true.
But you've got to package it properly and declare the contents to do so legally. So it is illegal to send.
But the guy declared in the letter there's a piece of crap.
Yeah, but he has to declare it with the post office.
What if he did?
I'm mailing Ron Cook crap because he wrote a horrible column.
And the guy goes,
oh, about damn time.
Do you want first class shipping?
You're the fifth guy this week.
Do you want it there Thursday or can you wait until Saturday?
Can you imagine Starkey's reaction if he got a bag full of poop comparing it to one of his columns? The angry fist bump.
Well, what
all
do you
that
think
stuff.
His response would have been if he showed up at that game between the Diamondbacks and Dodgers last night and he was
the bees?
Sitting with the bees?
Oh, done. Good night. Good night.
Traumatized for life?
Yes. Scarred. He's done.
Bees in his nightmares for years?
Yes, 100%.
I love that the guy that got rid of the bees took like a huge victory lap, was hyping the crowd throughout the first pitch.
I would. I absolutely would. You're the only reason that game is happening at that point.
Now, did he kill the bees?
No, I think since they're honeybees, I want to say, from what I recall reading, I think he had to like safely contain them so they could be transported. You can't kill honeybees. You want to kill those little yellow jacket punk asses for sure. Those are wasps.
How about those big fat black ones?
Those are carpenter bees. They can't even sting you. But you do want to. Oh, you want to talk about vicious killing?
Carpenter bees?
We have a sadistic way to kill them. there's a carpenter bee trap, and I think this is like something out of the movie Saw. It's a little house, right? And it invites them to crawl up a hole that already exists in the wood, because all they want to do is bore through wood. That's like their whole purpose in life. Once they crawl up, they fall down a smooth plastic little cylinder, can't get out, and they starve to death.
That's a horrible it, like, suffocates way to go. Them.
And then this is where it gets very twisted.
And it sounds like you're getting a big kick out of this.
Because I am, because they piss me off. This is the twisted part. Once one of them dies, the pheromones it gives off attracts more carpenter bees to the situation.
Donnie, you ever been stung by a bee before?
We got a graveyard of carpenter bees hanging from our deck.
I hate bees.
We had like
honeybees, very important.
We had the ground bees at our old house.
Yeah.
And I was mowing the lawn and I didn't know they were there. There was a nest and I went over it. And they came out and started stinging me like crazy. And the lawnmower, I just ran away from it and it went all the way down in like an embankment, down a hill.
I just thought of something you could have done there. Now, you would never think of this in the moment.
Set them on fire?
No. If you realize in the moment that you've gone over the ground
bee
nest, yes, and then you got a bee incinerator right there. You just got bees getting chopped up left and right.
That's a great
bee
point.
Massacre.